B-Pod Studios.
All right, so 5 o'clock hour, the Mike Mussinelli Show. We'll have some fun at 5 o'clock hour. Everything is up for grabs here. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Guida's big winter sale has been extended through January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit them online, goguida.com. That's goguida.com. All right, I was back to the thought of the Mount Rushmore of TV sports announcer types.
All right.
So you go Costas.
I would, yes.
All right, I'd put him in parentheses for me because I'm not sure I go there. How about you go Cosell?
Yep.
How about this bust out? Jim McKay.
Yes.
Has to be on, right?
Has to be on.
Jim McKay.
Yep.
Wide World of Sports, Olympics.
Yep. And for me, my personal fourth would be Dick Enberg.
Dick Enberg over Brent Musburger?
Yes, absolutely. Brent,
really?
Brent to me is so far off my list anymore.
What?
That's my personal list. Uh-huh. Brent's way, he's not top 10 for me anymore. I would go.
You go Dick Enberg over Al Michaels.
I do.
Something against Al.
I don't have anything against Al. You know what it is? I think Al has become just a football guy for me.
Uh-huh.
And Enberg and Costas, I like the guys that can do, and Cosell, and actually every one of those guys on that list do more than one sport. And I know Michaels has done other sports, but I personally don't have a point of reference of him being great at any other sport or good at any other sport.
Hockey, Miracle on Ice.
I wasn't even born.
You've seen this movie.
And I've
though,
seen
right?
And that's all time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The problem is Costas to me is a lock, so now I'm taken out, and Cosell's a lock.
It's interesting that you would think Costas is a lock. I'm curious to know why he's a lock.
It's something to do with my age. He's done it for 40 years, so my entire life was Costas, and that plays a role. I don't remember anything pre-Costas or Enberg. Cosell's a weird thing. That's historic, and McKay's historic, but I remember some McKay. So that's what's weird about
Costas
it.
Costas was always like the snotty kid who annoyed me in class.
Why?
Type of effect. I don't know. He just had the snotty kid thing about him.
And the Costas story to me about how he started in the ABA really, really young and how he had the guy turn the treble all the way down and the bass all the way up to try to make him sound older and stuff. I don't know.
That's fair. I mean, he's had a long career. No question. Ed in Harrisburg joins us. Ed, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ed.
Hey, Mike. I got to move on from the Eagles, but the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching them for a while here, and I think Simmons is going to be okay. To me, it's like a young Maurice Cheeks. Cheeks never shot the ball. All he did was he was lightning fast and driving down and shooting layups, and I see it as that. And my only problem with him is shooting them foul shots. They just look like bricks.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't look like bricks, which means he's got a stroke that can be worked with and perfected a little bit, because I think his release from his fingertips is good. Now, his elbow might be out of whack a little bit. If you notice, when he keeps his elbow tucked in, he's not a bad free throw shooter. He gets the elbow out every now and then. He's got a bad habit of sticking the elbow out.
I'll have to watch that. I mean, I just see too many bricks.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a concern. But as far as, you know, okay, is he the point guard?
Yes.
Then why do we draft Fultz?
Because you wanted Fultz to be the combo guard who could play the one when you're resting Simmons and could play the two when Simmons is on the floor.
Like Andrew Toney.
Yeah, Andrew Toney didn't do a lot of one, but he could handle it like that, yeah.
But, I mean, that's what upsets me. They wasted a first-round pick. You know Fultz is never going to come back.
You don't know that. It's not looking good, but you don't know that
yet. Yeah, it's not looking good.
You know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens.
It's a first-round pick.
I get it. Not every first-round pick works out.
Yeah.
I mean, am I right? Does every first-round pick that you take from 1 to 7 work out?
Well, the Sixers, a lot of first-round picks didn't work out. But
Well, their drafting has not. Well, yeah.
You gotta wonder. Yeah, you do have to wonder.
Yeah. All right, brother. You got it. And you know, send me this really good email on the Eagles' failure to draft. I got to call this up because this is really good. And he went through the years and years and years, and he compared it to other teams that took players from that certain draft. I got to find it now. All right, we'll go to the next call. And I'll try to find that. Let's go. By the way, there's an open line. One open line. 610-622-0975. Dave in Center City. What's up, Dave?
Yo, good evening, A-team.
What's going on, Dave?
Tyrone, you're right on the money. Dick Enberg, right after Howard Cosell, number two. He just passed away at 88. What a voice.
He had a great voice. Yeah, I liked him. I don't know if he'd make a Mount Rushmore, but I liked him.
Oh, by the way, Tyrone, while I have your ear, I'm having a gathering at my place for the Broner-Manny Pacquiao fight. Once again, I'm inviting you and your wife to come.
You going to the Broner-Pacquiao fight, Tyrone?
Yeah.
All right. I got your number.
He says, all right.
All right, let me take down your number. I got
you. You remember the scene, the disco scene in Carlito's Way when Benny Blanco from the Bronx said, Mr. Bergani, that is three times now you refuse my offer for a bottle of champagne.
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel.
Tyrone's a busy man,
but
he's the hardest working man in show business.
I mean, I do
right
have
now.
To work on Saturday, but it's an earlier game. I'll see what I can do on Saturday.
I know he's a married man. I have a Megan Good lookalike and a Stacey Dash lookalike coming over. But let me get down to business, Mikey Miss. The majority of the NBA games are ending up 145-128. Why are we seeing a return to the NBA circuit 1970?
Yeah, I think the majority of them are. There's been a few high-scoring games, but not, you know, the majority.
Mike, I'm not an avid fan, but every time I check, there was a few games, 154-148 in single overtime.
Well, I mean, it's overtime.
By the way, Sixers go 10-2 with this dozen of games, and the two games they lose are to the non-playoff.
I'll take the under. Yeah. I'll take the under. I'll take the under for like a sandwich.
Take care, Mikey.
All right, buddy. You got it. All right.
Really want to see Dave's house.
You got to go.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah, it's an intriguing situation. Yeah.
I got his number. I took his number down. Mm-hmm.
Take some pictures. Take some notes.
No. The only negative is that fight starts super late, and you've been at a stranger's house real late at night.
Could get awkward.
That's what I mean. Like, they probably won't get into the ring till like 11:30 for the start of the main event.
Yeah.
So that's late to be in somebody you don't know's house.
I hear you.
I'll wait outside in an escape car.
Jared, Southampton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jared.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Jared?
So, I've been waiting for a while to get on this call with the whole Redskins debate. Mm-hmm. I'm from Bucks County, and I actually went to the rival high school in the Chamonix. So, I grew up in the area. I grew up with a lot of people who are proud of that name.
You went to Pensbury?
Yeah, I was a Pensbury kid.
Okay.
So, I think the reason why so many people are stuck on this, like, oh, you know, it's tradition, it's history, it's always been that way, is they don't, I think you guys already talked about it, but like they don't understand how like offensive that really is. And if you put that, like we don't really use any other ethnic group in terms of sports teams. Like you would never say like, pick a city and go, oh, the Philadelphia Blackies or anything else. But it's only Native Americans do we use that with Redskins or any other like Chiefs, Blackhawks. It's horrific. And as a teacher, like I teach in Jersey, I teach a sociology class. Mm-hmm. Like we give a whole unit over this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
a whole entire chapter.
I don't understand it. If you have reasonable minded people, they should, when the issue is presented to them, they should say this. Yeah, it's offensive. It's 2019. Let's change it. What's the big deal?
Right.
It's a mascot. What's the big deal? Colleges have changed throughout this land because of it.
I think it's because it's new, and it's not that it's new. Let me phrase that. It's not that it's new. It's that it's gaining more popularity, that it's an offensive term. And they're saying, oh, you know, if it was offensive, why didn't anyone speak up before? And I think because of the internet and especially because of social media, smaller groups now have a voice. Mm-hmm. Now we are hearing more Native Americans say, yo, this is a really offensive
term. Yeah, well, but Jared, thanks for the call. If colleges can see the light, high schools are supposed to see the light. Like, that's the prelim. You're supposed to see the light in high school before you see the light in college. So if a school like St. John's can go, you know what, our nickname all these years was Red Men. My God, we are steeped in tradition here at St. John's University. But, you know, it's kind of offensive, so we're going to go with Red Storm. Was it a big deal?
No one was upset about
really?
It.
Nobody. Was that a big deal? They did the same thing in Stanford. But steeped in tradition. My God, in Stanford University, they changed the mascot. Was it a big deal? Did people's lives go on?
So
no,
I think
it was no problem. It was no problem at all.
I think it's also important maybe to point out what the term actually means. And you know, in the early 19th and 20th century, it was used for like scalping. Like that's what it is directly correlated to.
Like, are we cool with that? Like, let's say there was a word that signified lynching, but it wasn't lynching. Would we be okay with that school being named after lynching? We probably wouldn't, right? Probably. Why does it bother people that they would change it?
See, in the past, we dehumanized people by making mocking nicknames. In 2019, we have evolved past that. It's really kind of simple. Let's go to AJ in West Philly. AJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. AJ.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, AJ?
Man, long time no talk. So, of course, y'all will line me up right in this perfect spot. You know, y'all really broke down that issue about the high school name real elegantly. And the last caller, you know, he brought it to night from his side from being around there. So people that's around there can really understand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, myself, what I was thinking while I was in the car, like Tyrone was saying, what if the name was the Shamity White Boys? That's what you had to think about when you think about this thing. Because even that name right there, it just don't even sound right. There's not no reason for it.
No, I mean, the adult educated people should see that it's offensive and want to change it. I that's what I don't understand.
Yeah. Now, look, I want to hit on that Mount Rushmore. Y'all was talking about the announcers. For me, I love the people that, you know, most people don't know. It's a lot of black announcers that, like Clark Kellogg, you know, guys that put a lot of passion in it that's a little different. Almost remind me of how my man Stuart Scott used to be on ESPN. Those are my favorite analysts. You know, the color guys. You know, I was going to say John Madden, but he only do football, so he probably wouldn't make anybody around.
Well, I mean, the reason why, I mean, the Mount Rushmore, you have to have a long, distinguished career. I mean, that's one of the reasons why. You know, black announcers came along a little later, and they you know, you take this inventory, they're like James Brown will obviously get consideration and should get consideration now. Now. He's been at it for a really long time, and he's been very successful.
Now, on my sports report, when I won, because I was the one that wanted Mary Odin on it, I want us to move heaven and earth, get Patrick Peterson, and get Le'Veon Bell, please, and don't sign no other free agents, none of our people that's falling off, you know, our free agents, don't mm-hmm. sign any of them.
Okay.
Play for Patrick Peterson, get Le'Veon Bell, we're going to the Super Bowl next year.
All right, I got you. I got a list of the top free agents right here. There's a lot of defensive ends out there, Tyrone. Now you're talking about, you know, when you keep Brandon Graham. Do you need to keep Brandon Graham? Do you need to keep Brandon Graham when DeMarcus Lawrence is out there? You want to steal him away from the Cowboys?
I wouldn't mind that.
How about a couple outside rushers, but Dee Ford, Davion Clowney?
Yeah. Clowney would be.
Frank Clark.
See, those are good names.
There are a lot of defensive ends out there. How about an offensive tackle? You want to steal Trent Brown from the New England Patriots?
Huh. It's not bad.
There's Trey Flowers out there for the Patriots.
My only fear with the offensive linemen is the money. It's gotten up so high, and I wonder if they'll be able to fit them in. In my mind, I think they can figure tackle out. Mm-hmm. I think I have less faith with the defensive end just because I don't know who would go. I need a third guy. If Long's gone and Graham's gone, I can't just go Barnett and Bennett, I need another guy. I think you can figure out tackle. So for me, it'd be defensive end one, tackle two. For me,
personally. Grady Jarrett, the Atlanta Falcons, 26 years old. Now, Patrick Peterson's not a free agent as far as I can see, but Earl Thomas and Tyrann Mathieu are.
See, I got to call them. I have to. Don't you?
I would think, because you're not having McLeod back, right?
No, because his cap number is astronomical. Mm-hmm. He's going to be gone. He's going to help create space for some of those other guys.
You want a linebacker? Is Anthony Barr out there?
See, that's one position I would skip.
Would skip linebacker?
Yeah, I would draft or bring back my guys that I have. Because Bradham's already under contract. So is Gruje Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to bring back who I have, I can live with that linebacker. Mm-hmm. But those other spots, I don't think I can.
All right, I found that email that the guy sent me. It was actually the Sixers draft, analyzing the Sixers draft and why they are in the spot they're in with the lack of bench. And the guy makes a really good case. In the 2014 draft, the Sixers got out of that draft. KJ McDaniels.
People thought he was Scottie Pippen.
Jeremy Grant.
He's playing well.
Vasily Micic.
Ugh.
And Jordan McRae.
Yeah, come on.
In the 2014 draft, there were players that were drafted lower, like Clint Capella, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Nikola Jokic.
A lot of bigs.
2015 draft, the Sixers. Rashawn Holmes, Arturis Gudaitis. Remember this guy? J.P. Tokoto from North Carolina.
Yes.
And Luka Mitrovic. In the 2015 draft, Boston got Terry Rozier with the 16th pick. The Bulls got Bobby Portis with the 22nd pick. Minnesota got Tyus Jones. Golden State, Kevon Looney, 30th. Cleveland, Chaney Osmond.
All those guys would 31st. Help this bench.
Josh Richardson, 40th. Miami.
Another guy that would help this bench.
Norman Powell of Toronto.
Would also help this bench.
46th by Toronto. All right, let's go to the 2016 draft. The Sixers got two of everybody's favorites. Timotei Luwawu Kamara.
Get excited.
And Furkan Korkmaz. Meanwhile, Brooklyn took Caris LeVert with the 20th pick. Toronto got Pascal Siakam with the 27th pick. San Antonio had DeJounte Murray, 29th pick. Malcolm Brogdon went 36th to Milwaukee. And Golden State got Patrick McCall.
Well.
And finally, in the 2017 draft, the Sixers got NJ's Pasesniks, Jonah Bolden, and Matthias Lesor. Meanwhile, in the 2017 draft, Atlanta got John Collins, 19th. The Lakers got Kyle Kuzma, 27th, and Josh Hart, 28th. Golden State got Jordan Bell, 38th. And Memphis got Dylan Brooks, 45th.
And you know a lot of those names, Mike, the worst part is it wasn't hindsight. These were regular fans who watched college basketball, were aware of a lot of those guys. So they were on the radar type guys. Like in mock drafts, those guys were showing up. And the Sixers outsmarted themselves by going overseas.
In 4 years, the Sixers have not produced a player from their bench except for Korkmaz and Bolden.
In
from the draft.
Right. Well, this year's draft, they finally hit a little bit. Getting Shamet where they did is a good pick. In this year.
We'll see about that.
I think it was even, he already shows more.
See about Shamet. I don't overreact. You know that.
I know, but he's better than TLC. He's already better than TLC ever will be. He already is.
You're right about that. That bar wasn't set very high.
Well, that's true.
Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic from Bluebell. Jim, go ahead. Jim?
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I'm an old guy. I'm a Phillies fan. I want to talk to you about Nick Foles because I hear a lot of your people calling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like Foles compared to Wentz. But I got to tell you, I got to ask two questions. I don't think you do either, Mike. But I'm just I'm a former athlete at high school level and college level, sort of baseball. But what bothers me is that Foles, can you really tell me the last four games of the season that Wentz would have won any of those games? Or last season that he would have won the Super Bowls. Foles threw some passes that were dynamite.
How do you possibly know what Wentz would have done?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
A guess is dangerous. It's like you're making a guess, but you're making a conclusion while you're making a guess. You can't do that.
Yeah. No, why not? Because I see what I see. You know, I mean,
Paul. Yeah, but you didn't see the other guy, so you don't know if he would have done it.
Well, okay. So if he would have done it, he would have had to throw perfect passes that Paul's.
Well, how do you know he wasn't capable of that?
I say he is capable of that, but he is capable. He's going to be a good quarterback, I'm sure. But let's not downplay Foles. He brought a Super Bowl to the
No, city. Nobody's downplaying Foles except that they made their choice. So I don't know where we're going with this.
Well, I think, you know, they're going to try and keep him if they can. Maybe even set him up to
they
start.
They can't keep him.
Why not?
They can't keep two quarterbacks on their roster and pay two quarterbacks that price. And they've already said that Wentz is going to be their starter. So you can't have a backup making $20 million.
Yeah, but there's a general, don't you think there's a general tone in so many callers, Mike, of downplaying Foles?
No, I don't. I don't think there's a down. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think more people upscale Foles than anything. 610-632-0975. We're back.
Taking the show on the road, the Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Temple Basketball. Temple Owls battle Penn this Saturday at 5 p.m. at the Leocora Center. Don't miss Dollar Dog Night at the game. Visit owlsticks.com. Sixers hit the road to play the Pacers tonight. Joel Embiid is questionable with back tightness. Teams are neck and neck for third in the Eastern Conference. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers beat the Bruins last night 4-3 for their second win in a row. Sean Couturier helped the rally with a hat trick.
Now tipped away at center ice. Couturier's in. On the left side. Looks. He shoots. He scores! His first career hat trick as they rain down from the crowd. The Flyers have hat tricks in back-to-back games.
They'll play the Canadiens on Saturday. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Eagles defensive line coach Chris Wilson and wide receivers coach Gunter Brewer will not return to the team next year. Our Big Green giveaway continues all week long. Listen for your chance at $1,000. It's dollar coffee time at Wawa for a limited time. Any size Wawa coffee, any flavor, any way you like it is just $1. So come in to Wawa and get your dollar coffee today. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes. It is time for the final Twitter poll. That is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, from snowblowers to generators, small engines, every part for every machine in stock. When you need it, Moyer will keep you going this winter. Let's hear the horns.
Why doesn't this button work?
There we go.
This touchscreen's not very good.
It's
not very touchable. Of the Sixers' next 12 opponents, 9 are playoff teams and 12 are over 500. Will the Sixers be better than 6-6? Over 1,700 votes today. Still 73% say yes, 27% say no.
All righty then. That closes out the Twitter poll for today. Let's get back to the phones. Damon in West Philly. You're 97.5 The Fanatic. Damon.
Hey, Mike, what's happening, man?
What's going on, Damon?
Actually, I'm glad Natalie gave that poll, because I have a Sixers question before I get to my Eagles part. So, Mike, tonight's line has the Pacers by 3. Is that a Sixers line? Uh-oh, Mike. Come on, man.
Little bit of a Sixer line, but it doesn't really steer me either way. It's a kind of a revenge game for the home team. So, okay. I don't know. I would stay away from that game.
Okay. Just check it. So, Mike, I'm... Let me say this. I know everybody has broken down the Foles, Wentz situation. So I thought about this season, Mike, and it kind of reminded me of Wentz's first year starting. What I mean is we lost about 4 games that we should have won. Like, we lost by 2 to the Vikings, the Tennessee game, the Tampa Bay game, the Panthers game, and the Cowboys in overtime, right? And if you win at least three of those games, we at least have a home field playoff game, right? And so I looked at this last game against the Saints, and it just reminded me of how the season played out. We were driving, chance to take the lead, and boom, we come up short. So I'm okay, and I thank Foles, man. He brought so much joy to me, the city, everybody, right? But it is time to turn the page, because they put up so much for Carson. This gives us a chance, and I heard it, and I saw that Howie's voice. I could feel his sleeves are being rolled up and ready to go to work. I like some of the players you and Tyrone discussed as far as free agency, but, Mike, they have to hit on the draft. I know they have 10 picks, maybe 11. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I do. You know, they have to come out big in the draft. You're right.
Yeah, so all that said, I believe they're going to come back stronger next year, and we're going to have a great run. So it just played out this way in terms of how our season was. We lost some closers. We lost this game. And next year we'll be in a better position, man, and to get that torch again. Yeah,
I agree with you. By the way, the line on the Sixers game went up. It's four now, bro.
That means Embiid must not be playing.
Questionable.
Yeah, we'll see.
At four, it's an Indiana line.
But real quick, if we go 8-4 on this 12-game stretch, or I like, of course, you want to go 12-0, but we know that's not maybe not possible. If we go 8-4, or like 9-3, I'm okay with that.
I'd sign up for 8-4 right now. I'll take 8-4 right now. 4-point line. You like Sixers tonight? Embiid will probably play this game.
I actually do like them tonight.
Do you?
Yeah. Assuming Embiid plays. If Embiid plays, they don't win. Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay. Let's go Jim in Kensington. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Mike. So I've been listening, and earlier you talked about this and hinted that you'd bring it back up, and I think a couple of other callers brought it back up. Neshaminy High School with the skins issue. Let's not forget that kids, they're entering high school, and this point, I'm going to make a point, we're teaching children. These kids are like 13 years old when they're freshmen, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, so in ending that, earlier, Anthony, and the earlier show, and I've been off of work lately, but in an earlier show, Anthony, they were bringing up that a lot of the things that Philly, you know, we get comes from the parents, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, a lot of the parents that teach their children and growing up kept on saying, oh, this guy's a bum. That guy's a bum. This guy's a bum.
Yeah.
And it follows along with just, you know, that's how we go.
Yeah.
Yes, you agree. So, in Philadelphia, Mike, we used to play a game that was where you take a ball and you bounce it against the wall, Mike. And it's an anomaly in itself. Every neighborhood called this game the same name. They called it chink. Mm. I don't know what they called it in Bristol, but every neighborhood in Philadelphia called the game chink.
Yeah.
And don't let me finish, Mike, because trust me, I'm on the side. Mm. Okay, so here I am going to a family gathering, Michael. And I was hanging a lot with my nephew, and I knew that, oh, my God, this is going to be so boring. We're at a big gathering with a lot of people, and it's a beautiful day. And I took a pinky, or it could have been a pebble ball. But I took a ball because I figured me and my nephew would be able to escape the room and go out with a nice day and go have a catch. Well, it turns out, Michael, I have a second cousin that my aunt had adopted a Korean girl.
You're going to have to get to the point quick.
I'm going to get to the point, Michael. Yeah. Here I am, because those two young ladies, and they were growing up. So she had two young girls. They used to follow my nephew everywhere. So I invited my nephew to go outside, Mike. And guess what? Of course, they wanted to come. Well, here I am, Mike. We found a wall. We started bouncing a wall. And the two young ladies who are Asian, okay, because their mother was Korean, they says to me, Uncle Jim, what do you call this game? Talk about biting your tongue, Michael.
Well, if you bit your tongue, you did the right thing. Whew. Man, that was going on for a while. Jim, I appreciate the story, but, bro, we got to be a little briefer on that situation. See, that game, actually, when you think about it, well, literally, the ball chinking. But you got to be smarter than that, because it has another connotation, and you know it. And if you're going to deny it, you have your head in the sand. Let's go to Thaddeus in Maple Shade. Thaddeus, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thaddeus.
Hi, Mike. I had an opportunity, I guess, 15 years ago now to get demographics for Bucks County. I was buying a business over there, and it shocked me to find out that 97% of Bucks County is Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a small part of what's going on with this whole issue. That when you're not interacting with people of a different background, it's much easier to deny that something might affect them in a way that you don't see.
I totally agree with you. I think that's a great point. That 3%, by the way, shifted to Bristol.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a couple in, see, in the
Bristol's not considered really Salem. Bucks County. People always say to me, you're from Bucks County. No.
I had a school in Feasterville, and you know, my whole clientele was white. And it was sad for me as someone who's
There are people that are coming to these town meetings that are actually trying to defend the name. And I wish to God I was there, because I'd ask every one of them, why? Why do you need to defend a name? What is so important to you to have that nickname?
Exactly. Well, lack of exposure, and then you get defensive.
But wake up. But like, it's no big deal if you let go of the nickname. It's not going to dilute the quality of education your kids are getting. Andrew in Old City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good. So I'm talking about this whole Redskin thing. Obviously, I'm in agreement with you, right? But certain groups of people, and, you know, you can't generalize them and make a mascot named after that, right? Like the Redskins, it's ridiculous. But then if we're making the change for them, we to do the same for other universities, for instance, right? Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish. Do you think we got to start getting
If Irish people
well?
Decided they were offended, finally, by the name Fighting Irish with the Fighting Little Leprechaun, then I would say yes, change the name. Yes. Yes, it's all about who you are offending. Now, if Irish people, now, they're probably not going to be offended by it because it's so much, like Notre Dame is so much a part of them that they probably wouldn't want any changes. But if Irish people were offended by that, I would say, yeah. Like would I put up with a school that had the mascot, the Fighting Mobsters?
That'd be an interesting school.
Huh? Florence University, or Taormina University in Sicily, the Fighting Mobsters. Now, would I be offended by that? Yes, I would. I would advocate for a change of that name. How's that?
Why is this hard, Mike? You asked that. Why is this hard?
It's not hard. There are people that go into these public. They had to have a town meeting on this. It's like, what are you talking about, town meeting? Seriously? You have to have a town meeting. You have to hear everybody out who wants to keep the name for reasons they don't even know, other than that they're afraid of some kind of change to their little utopian society. Coming back, we got Sound Off right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off? You gotta be failing me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
To tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going.
Sound off.
Time for sound off. Here's the number. I want you to get a pen. Go get your phone. Put it in. 610-771-9705. You got something to say? Hit us up on that line. Leave us a message. Whatever your passion is in that particular moment, we may bring it to the airwaves on the Mike Missinelli Show.
There were a couple moments in that game that really messed up the flow of the game. Yeah, the Eagles won 14-0 in the first quarter. They lost the last three quarters. It's a four-quarter game. The coach should have got into that. Coaching, it's always suspect. Doug's good, but he's not that great. He was out-coached, not on Jeffrey's head.
Oh, partly on Jeffrey's head. But, as they say in hockey, Tyrone, you got to play the full 60 minutes. So if you don't, you get behind the eight ball, and, the puck doesn't go smoothly along the side wall.
Yep, you run into the hot goalie, which the Flyers used to every night for its whole season.
And on top of that, Tyrone, you can't shoot yourself in the foot.
Nick Foles takes over for an injury-prone Carson Wentz, leads a 6-7 team into the playoffs, then puts together a fourth-quarter game-winning drive against the number one defense, then has to go on the road to one of the hardest places in the NFL to play with a fourth-string running back. Mike, those are almost impossible odds, yet he still almost pulled it off if it wasn't for Jeffrey's drop. So you need to rethink how you support Foles.
Nah, man, sorry. Didn't do enough, brother. Did not have a good enough game in that game. Sorry. He had to do a lot better than he did in that game for me to keep believing for another game. Didn't do it. It ends here.
You say that the less Wentz gets hit, the less injury-prone he will be. Well, he tore his ACL and he didn't get hit. I think you need to rethink this one, bro. Wentz is injury-prone.
Excuse me. Let me see if I can recreate that play where he tore his ACL with no hit. He was sandwiched by two players. The hell are your TV show?
This message is for all the Eagles fans that continue to be misinformed about Carson Wentz. He played every game as a rookie. He played the first 13 games last year before he got hurt on the first play where he's diving and he gets his knee torn up. Stop saying he's injury prone when he's not. He's only missed a handful of games. Everybody's acting like he's missed 30, 40 games.
Hear, hear.
January 14th, 2020. The Eagles have finished 9-7. Wentz got hurt in week 10, and Nate Sudfeld came in and went 2-4. How are you guys going to feel about that? They got to find a way to make this work because they need both of these quarterbacks.
Come on, man. Why are you being silly? You know it can't work. They got to find a way to make it work. Phil, you tell me how it's going to work. They can't make it work. It's impossible to make it work. You got to move on from it. You can't have these two quarterbacks anymore.
Mike, can I ask you? Foles in society, you know I've been going to war with them for months. Are they finally starting to get on your nerves as well?
Well, no, they don't get on my nerves. It's just I'm just trying to preach common sense to them. The only way it could possibly work is if number nine decides that he wants to hold the clipboard and only makes $6 million a year to be a backup to Carson Wentz. Now, is that possible? No, I don't think it is. It's a pipe dream.
You got a lot of balls saying Nick Foles didn't have a good game. Who spotted the Eagles 14 points? Why don't you blame Graham for not falling on the football? And why don't you blame Alshon Jeffries with a pass right in his hand? Or otherwise, why don't you blame the vaunted Schwartz bend but don't break hated defense? You're blaming Nick Foles?
Did Foles play well enough in that game? Yeah, it's just a simple question. Me and you were sitting over a beer. Foles play well enough in that game? Or are you going to tell me yes, you're drunk or you're a liar?
Alshon Jeffery, that one's on me. That's my fault. I take responsibility. Well, of course. Who else is? The man on the moon? Tell us something we don't know, Alshon. And that's why there is such a fine line between your Hall of Fame and playoff receivers and the ones that aren't, and you're not.
For the fifth time in January, ladies and gentlemen, a double Dave.
You know, it makes me so mad when Eagles fans blame the loss on Alshon Jeffery. Yes, I get that he didn't catch it, but we were up 14-0 in the first quarter, and we couldn't even score for the next three? For the next three? You got to play four quarters to win a game. You can't just play one. If you could play one, the Atlanta Falcons would have won Super Bowl 50.
You got to play the full 60. Now, Nikki, for the caller that thought he was wonderful, they only got new New Orleans territory once after that 14-0. So.
And he completed less than 50% of his passes after the first quarter.
It may have been the quarterback not having a great game if you don't get in the other team's territory.
Tyrone, I'd love to play you in basketball 5-on-5. Just, have my boy give me the ball every time. Post you up and teach you everything you don't know about basketball. You pompous.
Oh, man.
Who's that? Sound like Jim.
That was Jim.
Was that Jim?
Jim was mad that we said after his call, which was off the rails yesterday, that he had to take a little break for a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
There were people, first of all, that was me being nice. People in my ear, including TV people, were saying to ban him permanently. I was being nice to the guy.
What's great about Jim? He's like 14.
I know. He wants to play me in basketball.
He's like 14 years old.
Also, who do you think has access to better players, me or Jim? What if I showed up with Embiid, Simmons, versus five?
I'm sure you and your crew will beat that decrepit old ass.
Why are we criticizing the Phillies not signing Machado or Harper? They're waiting the game, Mike, so they can get Machado at a discount and sign both. Just
wait, Mike. Even at the end of February, the Phillies are getting both.
Yeah, they're not getting both. People think they're getting both. They're saying people think Foles and Wentz are going to be the same roster next year. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of SoundArt. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
their brains. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets off.
That was sound off. For future reference, 610-771-9705. Devon Gibbons is up next. And then, yes, keep it locked right here. Sixers and Pacers. Big, big game for supremacy in that pecking order in the Eastern Conference. The Pacers a 4-point favorite tonight. Devon, I'll have you also after the game. Everybody have a great rest of the night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Here they come. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Temple Basketball. The Temple Owls battle Penn this Saturday at 5 p.m. at the Leocora Center. Don't miss Dollar Dog Night at the game. Visit owlsticks.com. Sixers hit the road to play the Pacers tonight. Joel Embiid is questionable with back tightness. Teams are neck and neck for third in the Eastern Conference. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers beat the Bruins last night 4-3 for their second win in a row. Sean Couturier helped the rally with a hat trick.
Now tipped away at center ice. Couturier's in on the left side. Looks. He shoots. He scores! His first career hat trick as they rain down from the crowd. The Flyers have hat tricks in back-to-back games.
They'll play the Canadiens on Saturday. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Eagles defensive line coach Chris Wilson and wide receivers coach Gunter Brewer will not return to the team next year. Our Big Green giveaway continues all week long. Listen for your chance at $1,000. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Guess what's